This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, we've got programs from the fair this week. Patrick Snyder with us. He's new to our team, but not new to Douglas County, and certainly been at a number of fairs over the years. And we have sent him out to check things out at the fair. Our first segment, taking a look sort of around the fair. Patrick, what are you seeing so far?
Well, right now I'm over at the River Arena. This is usually where I start with, I usually start at the adult beverages. Then I make it down to the River Arena. And right now this is where they're keeping sheep and goats. And you'll hear some of those as I walk through. And I found out that the animal auction happens at 4 o'clock on Friday. And so, yeah, you can hear it. It smells wonderful in here. Quite a few animals to look at. It's got the FFA and the 4-H. Clubs are down here. Wow. Oh, yeah. Hi. How are you doing? Yeah, that's nice. Anyway, so let me cruise on through out of here.
That may be the first, maybe the first time we've had a sheep interviewed on the air. I don't know.
Yeah, I could have put them on for you. So let's get out of here because it smells wonderful in here. And I'll probably make my way past the Dock Dogs and ride up towards the food court. Oh, boy. But you hear the Dock Dogs in the back. That's always a fun attraction. These guys, I guess they're from Idaho. They come out here. They do this every year. They bring out dogs and do some jumping competitions and stuff like that. But I guess you can't bring your own dog, so that's kind of a bummer. I don't think we're going to make it through all the animal exhibits. I'm marching along past the amphitheater. We got Aaron Luce's crew is setting up. That's going to start at 7:30. And there's a few different buildings with animal exhibits. I was in the one with the pigs earlier. Fortunately for me, none of those pigs escaped. Over here by the Lotus Media Group, you can hear our friends from Hot Country playing in the background. We got a rock climbing wall, food court, which is where I'm headed right now, trying to stay hydrated. It's not as hot out here today as it was yesterday. And if you go to some of these halls, they have air conditioning, so you can cool off, take a break, check out the flowers, check out some of the other vendors. So what you hear in the background is the garden stage. And it's a hula girl. What is her name? Lesser the Hula Hooper is what you're hearing in the background. And we're almost to this food court. And so far, you can get corn in a cup. I'm over by the barbecue. So you get barbecue corn, chicken sandwiches. They have slushies, the teriyaki chicken rice bowls. Those are always good. Can't go wrong with that. Toasted ravioli. I'm going to come back for one of those later. Italian sausage, funnel cakes, Korean corn dogs. And I tell you what, I'm going to go in the floral hall and cool off for a minute and look at some flowers. Is that okay?
Yeah, no. It's really cool to just walk around there and sort of take a pass and see what all is going on. Whether people have been there many years in a row or it's something brand new, there's always something different, new to see out there at the fair.
Yeah, and so, there's quite the different selection of flowers. They got a little gardening set up in here. It's really cool. You can just come in here, cool off for a couple minutes. One of the smaller halls, but there's some bonsai tree exhibits. That's wonderful. Now we walk out, we got another court. And shoot, I can't remember the name of this hall we're heading into, but it's got the, we're going into the community Trumpetal. So let's go in there. They've got the bubble guy's right outside. So when you walk into the fair, you can see the bubble guy. He's doing his performances already. And let me see the sign here because I'll tell you when Matt Baker's going to be on. He comes on at 3:30 and 6:30 p.m. And I'll probably need one of these wheelchairs. We got Central Douglas Fire and Rescue out here. They're probably going to be taking care of me later. And let's make it our way into this hall. Got the jerky guy in here. I know that. It's always jerky at the fair. Right, so I'm in the Cascade. Is that what I said?
Right.
Okay. So our friends at Adcox come in. You can see them right away. Jerky. You got all kinds of different wares like jewelry and tinctures and these things that spray out. Like, they're not misters, but they make your house smell better and supposed to make you feel better. There's a lot going on here. It's also really cool in here. Well, we got the fudge and cakes and candy. And let me see, all kinds of art from different vendors. And let's pop outside. We're going to head over to the Midway, which is fairly loud, but nonetheless, it's pretty fun. I got my fare, my ride ticket, just trying to decide which ride I'm going to take. I think I could go and get one of those old Western pictures, but I don't think I look very old Western. And now we might hear some music and stuff, but it's not anything we're playing. So off to the right, you got some of the bigger boy rides like the Tornado and the Freak Out. Those are things that I probably won't get on because looks a little scary to me. You got the merry-go-round, and looks like adults can ride on that. And if you know you're just going to spend the afternoon on the Midway, there's plenty of drinks and food. You can get over here without having to walk the whole thing. So they also have games set up here. I don't know if I don't think I'm too good at any of these games. I'll probably play like Ring a Duck. Might win something. And let's see. Let's go look at some more animals back this way. But, yeah, there's lots to do here. It's not real hot. It's not real busy. You can make your way around real easily. Let's see. We have another booth, and let me see which hall that's at. We'll figure out when we get in there. I think it's a pavilion hall, I want to say. But they have more vendors, much like the hall we just came out of. So we can cut through there real quick. You can get mystery bags for a few bucks. That's always wonderful. You never know what you're going to get in one of those. And let's see. Oh, we got jewelry right as you walk in. Some sporting gear for people who like to hunt. Let's see. You can get this sticket roller that is for, like, getting dog hair off your furniture. You're going to have to get one of those.
Wow. They
got a little garden set up in here. It's really nice. Actually, the air conditioner is going good in here. So if you need any sort of relief while you're at the fair, man, hit up these halls. So we got the jacuzzi hot tub, booth, and some sports gear, memorabilia. It's a lot to see here.
Well, Patrick Snyder out at the fair. We're going to let him keep walking around, but we're going to go into our second segment in a moment. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1245, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Live from the fair, it's Matt Hill, Douglas Timber Operators Executive Director. And I started to say you're in a booth, but you're really in a whole pavilion, right?
We are in a timber frame pavilion made of Douglas County forest products.
And how many years has that been there?
This is our third year that we've had it fully installed, and it's right next to the exhibit hall in Douglas Hall.
Well, so what's going on out there for people that come out sometime this week?
Well, I encourage everyone to come out. It's a great fair this year. I've got a great patriotic theme for America's 250th anniversary. And as always, we've got farm animals on one side of us and rides on the other side and lots of good food and drink all around.
And you're probably spending a lot of your time out at the fair this week.
Yeah, I'm here every day. We man the Timber Pavilion from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and we've got lots of forestry and other partners in the pavilion with information for the public about forests and forest management and fire prevention here in Douglas County.
So who are some of the other groups that are in there with you?
We have, of course, Douglas Forest Protective Association, which always has really great, you know, current information about the fire situation and in Douglas County, and they're going to be bringing Smokey Bear out this Saturday for his or her birthday party on Saturday. We've got Oregon Small Woodlands Association, the Douglas County chapter. We've got Communities for Healthy Forests. We've got lots of background information from Oregon Department of Forestry, and then Douglas Timber Operators has our own booth and information.
And the Douglas Timber Operators began how far back?
1968.
Wow, long time for an organization. Do you remember, you weren't there then, of course, but do you remember kind of what led to it being founded?
Yeah, it was originally founded when folks operating up in the woods, loggers and truckers and other people just wanted to be able to communicate with each other up in the woods, and so they formed a radio system for communication, and then that turned into a more formal organization, which really gelled in the 1980s when federal forest management became politicized and wrapped up in court decisions, and they needed to stand together to advocate for sound forest management.
Yeah, it's funny. We think about, and a lot of people weren't around then, but just the communication methods were so different then. It had to be quite a challenge for the timber industry just to communicate, you know, within a given company and amongst themselves.
Yeah, it was for sure. It's changed a little bit, although people out in the woods still use CB radios to communicate. You don't have cell coverage everywhere still. So communication can still be a challenge just to maintain safety, but you know, from a modern sense and a policy standpoint, communication with our members in different sectors of our forest products economy between manufacturers and loggers and landowners is still very important just to understand how each sector is doing, because we need all of them to work for the forest products economy to work.
Why do you think it's important for your organization and the others you mentioned to be out at the fair?
I think a lot of people who now live in Douglas County may not have always lived here and may not be as familiar with, you know, how important forests are to not only our economy, but, you know, our water, our air quality. As we look at smoke out there, people are wondering, you know, what's going on? Is this normal? Where is it coming from? How can we be safe? And these are all relevant things to everyone who lives in Douglas County. So we want people to understand how forests are managed, who owns them, who manages them, what the challenges are, what the policy discussions are, and how they can become involved.
How do you feel like this year is going for your industry?
It's a tough year. It's a very tough year. The market is challenging. It continues to be challenging for most of the products that are made in Douglas County mills. We've had, unfortunately, a mill closure of a mill that's been operating for 74 years with Nordic Veneer, and the loss of those jobs and that production, which fed other manufacturing production in the county, is a major loss. And that comes after losing other mills like C&D and Swanson's Glendale facility, and and others in and around Douglas County. So the trend has not been good in recent years. It's a factor of the market. It's a factor of supply. It's a factor of competition from Canada and other countries that, where their governments support their industry in a way that's much different than what the United States does. So all of these factors, you know, play a role in the health of the industry here. And that in turn affects everyone in terms of the money that's generated from federal timber sales that supports county services, law enforcement, healthcare, education, road maintenance. It affects, you know, the tax base in terms of who's just paying taxes as individuals and property taxes. So everyone is affected by the health of the forest products economy.
And on the lighter side, what do you like personally when you get to come out to the fair?
I like the food. It's hard to stay away from when you're out here all day and you can smell it, but I'm doing okay. I just like seeing people who come through here, who visit the fair. Sometimes I only see them at the fair every year, so it's kind of a reunion tour. But I just enjoy talking to people about these issues because they mean a lot to me.
And, of course, you spent time talking about these issues as well with folks on the federal level. We've seen a number of changes in the last year or so in directions of policy, but as we've talked about before, seeing specific changes actually come to fruition is a very slow process.
That's true. I think the current Trump administration has all the right intentions to correct the direction of federal forest management, both from a forest health standpoint, but also just to make sure that our industry and our economy is on track and on par with our competitors around the world. Where the rubber hits the road is how are federal forests managed on a day-to-day basis, and that hasn't changed yet. The BLM is in the process of amending its management plan for the ONC lands in Western Oregon. You know, that takes time. It will be litigated, and hopefully we get some improvement out the other end. The Forest Service is midway through a multi-year process of amending all of the forest plans in Western Oregon, Western Washington, Northern California. And we don't know what the outcome of that is. And that, too, will certainly be subject to litigation and could be changed. Either of them could be changed by future administrations. So it's hard to predict a long-term trajectory, but, you know, we know that the current path is not sustainable from an environmental standpoint with fires and loss of habitat and forest structure. It's certainly not sustainable economically, and I think we can do a lot better.
So if people come out to your booth this weekend, what kind of conversations are you having with them?
A lot of questions about fire, of course, you know, because we've got smoke in the air. And so we talk to folks about what's just happening around the state and what the outlook is. The question you just asked of what's going on with this administration, when can we expect changes? Those are the big two questions I get.
And again, remind folks what hours you're out there.
The people are free to walk through the pavilion anytime the fair is open, but we have people staffing it from 10 to 7, from 3 to 5 every day. We've got the Wheel of Forestry so people can test their forestry knowledge and win some prizes.
All right, Matt Hill at the Douglas Timber Operators Pavilion. Matt, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.